Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Mem Vav, and we will begin on Daf Mem He Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan, a revis havdanim, a bowl that's used by tanners, and where it's put skins of animals with flour to process the skin. Says the Braisa, Shenos Matoicha Kemach Toishlosh Yomim, if flour was put into this bowl within 3 days of Pesach, chayv levar, you have to dispose of that flour. The flour is still considered edible flour, edible chametz, by raw, by imotzi, you must destroy it. Kodim shloshim yamim, but if the flour was there more than 3 days before Pesach, and chayv levar, you don't have to dispose of it anymore because the flour has already become spoiled and no longer has the status of chametz. Amrav Nosin, Medvam Amurim, when is this Braisa ruling relevant? Shloim Nosin Latoichai Iris, if skins were not actually put into the bowl. Av Nosin Latoichai Iris, once skins were put in there, Afil Latoich Shloisha, even if it was less than 3 days before Pesach, Ein Achayv Levar, you no longer have to dispose of it because we're sure that it loses the status. It's a machloikis. Why? Rashi explains that as soon as you put the skins in there, they automatically nullify the status of the flour from being chametz. And the Meiri learns that as soon as you put the skins in, it spoils the flour, and that's why it's no longer considered chametz. Amar Rava, Halach Krab Nosin. The Halach is like Krab Nosin. Afila Yoimachar, Afila Shachas. If the skins were in there only for 1 day, even for 1 hour of the day, they already make the flour lose the status of chametz. V'chein l'inyan tumah. And we learned further in the Mishnah, just as we spoke about in the previous shiur about chametz in the walls of the mixing bowl, so too will be regarding tumah. Im makbedal of chaitzitz, if somebody is particular about this piece of dough, it will be a chatzitza. If he wants the piece of dough to remain in the bowl, harei karev, becomes part of the bowl. So just to review how we explained according to the maskana of the Gemara yesterday, pshat in the Mishnah. There are three areas in a bowl. There's the area on the bottom of the bowl where the Gemara said any amount of dough put there as a patch becomes part of the bowl. There's the area on top of where the dough is kept on the sides of the wall of the bowl, that there any amount of chametz retains the chametz status, because a person doesn't really need to patch up that area. There is no dough, there's no flour, there's nothing in that area. And then we have the area on the sides where there's items left in the bowl. If the chametz put there is less than a kazayis, we say becomes part of a bowl. If it's a kazayis or more, it retains its own independent status. And our Gemara is going to be focusing that the comparison between tumah and the area of the bowl is the area where there's a difference between if it's a kazayis of chametz or less than a kazayis. And therefore ask the Gemara, me dummy, how can we compare the bowl regarding hilchas tumah to the bowl regarding hilchas chametz? Hasam regarding chametz b'shura toyim milsa. It depends. Is there a kazayis there or is there not a kazayis there? Hacha on the other hand here b'kpei the toyim milsa. It depends. By tumah, do I want the dough to remain there so it becomes part of the bowl and therefore it will not be a chatzitza? By and if I want to leave, I want to have it removed, then it's chatzitza. Amrav Yehuda. So Yehuda says, Ema, we should learn Pshan and Mishnah, Linyan Tumah, Enakain. That Tumah and Pesach, Tumah and Chametz, aren't the same din. By Chametz, it depends on the shear, and by Tumah, it depends if I want to keep it there or not. Amalei Abayah, so says Abayah, V'chein Linyan Tumah Ketani. Our Mishnah clearly says that they're the same. So how could you say that Pshan and the Mishnah is that they're not the same? Elam Abayah, Hachi Kama. This is the way we have to explain the Mishnah. V'chein linyan tsirif tumah pesach, regarding combining food for tumah regarding pesach, On Pesach, there will be one rule regarding Tumah, and for the rest of the year, there will be another rule. So we have to review a machlokes that we've encountered between Rashi and Tosfos. We know that foods can become Tameh and can give off Tumah. Rashi learns that a food to become Tameh, any amount of food becomes Tameh. To give off Tumah, it has to be at least the size of a Beya. Tosfos says that not only regarding giving off Tumah is the shear a Beya, but even to receive Tumah, the shear is a Kebeya. And here, says the Gemara, Hey Chidami, what happened here? Kigoin de Ika Pachs me Kebeya Oichlim. In the bowl, there's less than a Beya of food. V'nog b'hai batzeik, but we have this dough, which is in the mixing bowl, and if we were to combine this dough together with the food that we have, now we may have a kebeya, which according to Rashi, now we have enough food that could give off tumah. But Pesach, regarding Pesach, the Surah Chashev, that the Isser, the shear makes it chashev mitzdarf. So there, if we have a kazayas of dough, that's considered something significant, and it's mitzdarf with the other food, and if they now have a kebeya, it will give off tumah. B'shayi ma'ashashana, the rest of the year, when examining this dough, if it can combine with the food that already exists in the mixing bowl, we look at Kepay de Talia Milsa. We look at what is my hashkafa, what is my view towards this dough. In Makbidolov, if I'm disturbed about being there, I want to clean it out, so it remains an independent piece of dough, so then it's mitzdarf, so it's an independent piece of food, and it could combine with the other food, and if I have now a kebeya, it could give off tumah. In Reitz Bekiyumah, however, if I want it to remain as a patch in the wall of the bowl, Harei Kareva becomes part of the bowl. It's not considered food anymore and will not be able to combine with the existing food that's there to achieve the shear of a beya that could give off tumah. Ask the Mefarshim, how can we say that on Pesach, that even if it's the size of a kazayas, it could combine with the existing food? We know that in Halacha there's a concept of chitusei mechdeshuri, something that must be burnt, something that must be destroyed, doesn't exist. Chametz must be burnt. So if it has to be burnt, how can we say that it has any shear, it has any measurement that it could be used to combine to achieve the shear of a kebeya? So some mefarshim answer that we're speaking in a situation that he was mevatel the chametz ready. So since he was mevatel the chametz, midoraisa, there's no issue, and that's why it still, we don't say ketusei mechdeshuri. Others explain that since, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, there are tanoim that hold that chametz sh'oval of a Pesach is muta b'hano, so when do we say ketusei mechdeshuri? By kotshim that become possible, that they must be burnt and may never be used to derive any benefit. So since they must be burnt and can never be used, they have no shear. However, here, that according to this Tanoim, chametz of Pesach can be used, so it has still some value, and we don't say chetusei mechdeshuri. Ask the Gemara, maskos la Rava, asks Rava, michtani mitzdarf. Your pshat is very nice, but that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah doesn't talk anything about combination. For chaytis ketani, our Mishnah talks about chatzitza. So the Tzlach has one of two approaches to this Gemara. One approach to this Gemara he has is that halachically, Rava agrees with Abaya that the din that Abaya just taught us is correct. He's just saying that can't be pshat in the Mishnah, because that's just not what the Mishnah is saying. Another pshat is that Rava not only says Tabaya, that that's clearly not what the Mishnah is saying, but moreover, Rava doesn't agree with Abaya halachically. Ela Amar Rava. So what does Rava say Pshat in the Mishnah is? V'kein lahalois tara lareva. The issue is bringing tahara to this mixing bowl. Hechi dami. Kigoyin de itmi hachareva. The mixing bowl became tamei. Or boilat bilin, he wants to take it to the mikveh to immerse it to make it tar. But Pesach, the Surah Chashiv, regarding Pesach, where a kazayas, we said is significant, chaytzitz. So if there's a kazayas of chametz in the side of the wall as a patch, it will be a chatzitza. V'loisakal tefillah, and the tefillah will not be a good tefillah, because a tefillah with a chatzitza is not an acceptable tefillah. B'shayi Mosh Hashanah, but not on Pesach. B'kpeyah Tayyum Elsi. It depends on your view towards this stone. Imakbilov, if you're bothered by it and you want to have it removed, chaitzitz, it will be chatzitza. Vimroitz b'kiyuma, but if you want it to remain there as a patch, harei kareva, then it will be considered part of the bowl. Maskula Rapapa. So Rapapa asks, mitani v'chelin yatahara? Did our Mishnah say anything regarding tahara? Holin yatomaktani. You explained the Mishnah talking about how we can make this bowl tahar. And our Mishnah says, it's talking about Toma. Elam Rapapa, therefore Rapapa says a different pshat. The situation here is regarding making the Areva Tomei. Hechidomi. Kigoyin de Noga Sheretz Bahai Botzek. Where Sheretz touch this dough that is stuck to the mixing bowl. But Pesach, on Pesach, the Surah Chashiv, where the significance of the size is the factor chaitzitz. It's considered, so if you have a kazayas of dough, it's considered an independent object. So when the sheretz touches the dough, it's touching the dough, not touching the utensil. So although the dough will become tamei, it will not necessarily make the utensil, the bowl tamei, because a bowl, a utensil can't become tamei from dough, and the sheretz didn't touch the bowl, it only touched the dough, so the dough will be tamei, and the bowl will not. And therefore, the bowl will not be tamei. However, b'shayim Mosh Hashanah, there's a different perspective. It depends on Kepay the Talia, what the owner's view is. In Makbidolov, if he wants it to be removed, no matter what the size is, chaitzit, so it's considered independent of the bowl. So if the sheretz touches the dough, it didn't touch the dough, and therefore the bowl will not be tamei. Imroitz b'kiyumai, but if he wants the dough to be part of the bowl, he wants it to be a patch, harei karev, it's part of the bowl, and it's as if the sheretz touched the bowl, and the entire bowl will then be tamei. The And we show and point out that this explanation seems to prove what Tosfos holds, that food can become tamei even when it's less than a kebaya. Because that's exactly what happened here, that the dough is a small piece of dough, and yet it becomes tamei. Yet we said at the beginning of this piece of Gemara that according to Rashi, food doesn't become tamei when it's less than a kebaya. And Rashi Taka explains the whole Gemara, the food here becoming tamei is regarding giving off tuma to other foods. But the question is, isn't this a clear indication that to Tosfos pshat? So Rishonim explain that the reason Rashi isn't so bothered with this kasha is because if it's on Pesach and it's kazayas, anyway we have to destroy it. So that's why it does. The discussion only could be regarding giving off tuma, not regarding receiving tuma. This food has to be burnt anyway. Batzik acharish, a dough that is deaf, which means it doesn't display any sign of chimitz, although the way Rashi and the Ravid explained the Mishnah, there is reason to believe that this dough became chametz. Rambam explains that the Mishnah is speaking of a dough which does not show any sign of chametz, but as we're going to learn in the Gemara, there was a delay of 18 minutes in its processing, and that's why we're concerned that it may be chametz. So says the Mishnah, Em yesh boy ki yoytze boy shehechmetz. If a dough was made at the same time, another dough was made at the same time as this dough was made, and that dough became chametz, hareza osur, then we say that this dough is also osur. We assume that this dough is the same as the other dough, and just like the other dough that was prepared this time was chametz, this one is also chametz. Ask the Gemara, emein sham ki yoytze ba mahu. But if another dough was not prepared at the same time, so we can't use that to identify if it's chametz or not, what do we do? Amr Rav Avuha Amr Shimon Lakish. What we do is kidei shi'alech adam imigdal lunya l'tferia. It's considered chametz if enough time went by that a person could walk from migdal lunya l'tferia, which is a mil, which, as we know, means 18 minutes. Ask the Gemara of the name of mil. So why do you say migdal lunya l'tferia? Just say mil. Answers the Gemara, Hakamash Malon, to sure the mill, that if you want to know what is the distance of a mill, Kemigdal Nunya Tferia. Walk from Migdal Nunya Tferia, and you know that is the shear of a mill. And this is the halacha of 18 minutes. The way most Rishonim explain is that if the dough is left for 18 minutes in which it was not worked on, it becomes chametz. But as the Shulchan Aruch says, of course the preferable method of determining if the dough is chametz or not is by comparing it to another dough that was processed at the same time. But if you don't have that option, if it wasn't worked on for 18 minutes, we assume it's chametz. If it was constantly being worked on for 18 minutes, if it was constantly being worked on, it makes no difference, it will not be chametz. However, we are makbid that the matzah should be prepared within 18 minutes, even if the dough was being worked on constantly. And the reason is for two reasons. Number one is because we're not quite sure what asik means, working. Well, we think working with the dough may not really be working. And also, as the Mordechai says, this 18-minute time, it really depends on other conditions, on the heat of the room in which it was made, and the people who are working with it, if their hands are wet, the status of the water. And that's why we're makbid, to avoid any shilas, we have the matzahs baked within 18 minutes. Amar b'vur amar b'shimel lakish. Legabel. Regarding somebody who hired somebody to knead for him a dough. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is like this. Somebody hired someone to make a dough for him, and he gave him the mixing bowl in which to put the dough, and that mixing bowl is tamei. And the question is, how far does the baker have to go to have the mixing, to take the mixing bowl to a mikveh to make it tahor? So as the Gemara is going to teach us, that in the direction that he's going, he has to go dalid milim, that he has to walk dalamino, has to walk, take, which is 72 minutes to get to a mikveh. So the Rabbeinu David explains, if the person contracted, if the baker contracted with the person who he's baking for, that he will make for him dough b'tahara, so what's the Gemara saying that he has to walk dalamino? And then let's say there's no mikveh with dalamino, what should he do? So explains the Rabbeinu David that if he made up with the person that he's baking for that he's going to make him a dough b'tahara, he has no right to make a dough b'tumah. But the Gemara is saying that the baker could say, I couldn't get to a mikveh within four milim, so that's why I didn't bake the dough. He doesn't have to walk any more than four milim. Tosfos and Rashi seem to be discussing that the issue here, that the person is on the road. And that's why, as we will learn, that there's a difference how much she has to walk in each direction. Ul tefila, The same thing is regarding davening. So Rashi explains that regarding davening means to daven in a Beis HaKnesses, to daven in a shul. How much does a person have to go out of his way to daven in a shul? There's a machloikis how to learn pshat in Rashi. Does Rashi mean davening b'tzibur in a Beis HaKnesses? How much does a person have to walk to daven b'minyan? Or is Rashi saying just to daven in a Beis HaKnesses even without a minyan? Other Rishonim, Tosfos quotes the Aruch, says that the Gemara's discussion here is regarding washing your hands before davening. Before one davens, he has to wash his hands. How much does a person have to walk to get to water to wash his hands? And yet other Rishonim, Rabbeinu David, explains that the Gemara's question here is regarding davening when somebody has to go to the bathroom. If a person has to go to the bathroom, he's not allowed to daven. What is the shear? So the Gemara is saying that if Dalam Milim, if he could hold himself back for the amount of Dalam Milim, then he could daven. If not, he may not daven. Unutil Sidayim means for somebody washing his hands to eat. So the Tva explains, if somebody doesn't have water to wash his hands and he's not that hungry, so then the shear of the Gemara is not relevant. He should wait till he gets water. On the other hand, says the Ritva, that if the person in the morning when he washed his hands had a mind that this Netilas Yadayim should work for all day and he doesn't have water available, he may be able to wrap his hands and eat right away. Here we're speaking, says the Ritva, of a situation where the person did not wash his hands with that condition in the morning. He's very hungry and he wants to eat. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is, if there's water up to 4 milim, he should walk those 4 milim to get the water. If there isn't, says the Mishnah Berurah, he should wrap his hands in paper or plastic and eat that way. Abar milim, the shear is dalad mil. Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, Iva Amroi. It was Iva who said this halacha, not Rav Avua. And furthermore, Va'aba Amaba, he said regarding four halachas. What was the fourth one? V'chad minay ibud. One was regarding flour, regarding the halacha of working of leather. The tanan, the kulin sh'avdam, all meat that started to be processed, or they were stepped on for the amount of time that you work with it, tahirim, are no longer considered meat and are therefore tar. They lose their status as food. Chutz me'ar adam, human skin is different. V'kama k'dei avoida. Now that we said that k'dei avoida is a factor, how much is it? Amar Rav Aiva, Amar Rav Yanai, k'dei hilach avamilim, the amount of time it takes to walk avamilim. Amr Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina, lo shana l'fanav. All these dinim are only in the direction that the person's walking. So since he's walking in this direction anyway, we say walk another 4 mil to get the water. Walk another 4 mil to get to the shul with the minyan. Avla achrav, but if it's in the opposite direction from where he's going, afil a mil in a chayzer, he doesn't even have to go even a mil. Amr Vachma. So from this I could extrapolate. Milhu deinachayzer. He doesn't have to walk a mil out of his way. Ha'pachs mil. But if it's less than a mil, chayzer, he has to walk out of his way. And this is the halacha. That tefila b'tzibur for netilas yadayim. If he's on the road, he should walk up to dalam milim. But the Mishnah Berurah explains if someone is home. So when someone is home, it's like in the opposite direction. He's not intending to walk, and therefore the shear is up to a little less than a mil. He should go out of his direction. The Mishnah Berurah also says that when we measure mil, or 18 minutes, or abamilim, 72 minutes, we don't measure it by distance, we measure it by time. That means we don't say a mil is a mile or whatever, we say 18 minutes. So if somebody could drive in a car, he could go quite a distance in 18 minutes, or he could go quite a distance in 72 minutes, and that would be the halacha according to the Bi'ur halacha, and most places can hold that way. There's a tshuva that Ramosha writes to someone. This person asked Ramosha that he's a person that likes to learn and is up late at night learning, And because he goes to sleep so late at night while he's learning, it's hard for him to get up in time for minyan in the morning to daven tefillah b'tzibur. Is it acceptable what he's doing? So Moshe quotes our Gemara. He said, from our Gemara we see how important tefillah b'tzibur is, how much a person has, should walk or travel to get to a tefillah b'tzibur, and that's why Moshe says that that behavior is not really preferable. Says the Mishnah, Ketzed mefrishin challah b'tumah b'yontif. How could somebody separate challah from dough that's tumah and yontif and Pesach? So, as the Rishonim, Rashi and the Rishonim explain our Mishnah, we know that when someone bakes Pesach, he separates the challah and gives it to the kohen. However, if the dough is tumah, the person has a challenge, because challah that's tumah cannot be eaten by kohen. So therefore, it can't be baked. Because the only thing that may be baked on, cooked on Yontif, is something that I'm going to be allowed to eat on Yontif. This challah, I can't eat on Yontif. To tell me, as is the normal case, that it should be burnt, that I should put it away, here, putting it away is not an option. Because if I leave it put away till after Yontif, it'll become chametz, and there's an issue of chametz Shavalova Pesach. The other option is to burn it, because the halacha with challah that becomes tameh always is that it should be burnt. But as Rashi explains, the halacha is ein sorfim kotshim b'yontif. And as Tosfos says, how could we say that just like ain't sar from kachim yontif, you're not allowed to burn kachim yontif, the same halacha applies to challah. Challah, you're allowed to have hanah, you're allowed to use as fuel and derive benefit when you burn. Kachim, you're not allowed to derive benefit from. So Tosfos says two terutzim. One terutz Tosfos says is the halacha is not that challah that's tamei can be used as fuel for your fuel for benefit. The halacha is that challah that's tamei must be burnt. Just like kachim that are tamei must be burnt. Just the Torah said, when you burn it, you're allowed to have benefit, you're allowed to have anor from it. But it has to be burnt because of the mitzvah. And just like kachim can't be burnt on yontif, so too challah. Torah says another teretz that we're going to allow you to burn challah that's tamei and yontif. You may not just burn it, you may end up burning it not as fuel, you may just damn burn it, and burning it is awesome. The Meiri asks, why don't we do a simple eitzah? Why aren't we just mevatel the chametz immediately? And once we mevatel the chametz, there's no problem of abayirah abayimatzah. So the Meiri answers that since the challah doesn't belong to me, it has to be given away. You can't say bittel on something that is not yours. As we said earlier, the situation here is that the dough is already made and it became tameh. Because if we were dealing with tummy ingredients before, as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, then the eitzah would be is to make smaller amounts of matzah or whatever product we're making, that there wouldn't be a chiyuv challah at all. And on another Yom Tov, as we said, when faced with such a problem, just put the dough away for after Yom Tov. So what should somebody do in such a situation? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, "Lo'tikru l'Hashem atchetoifa." The person baking the dough should not designate a portion of it as challah until it's actually baked. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, the Mishnah, is the person should bake each loaf separately, without yet designating a specific amount to be challah. So when I'm baking each bread, matzah, whatever, cake, each matzah or cake is not necessarily challah, and then I'm allowed to bake. Then when I take it later, it turned out that it was challah. But when I baked it, it was fine. Ben Becerra Omer, Ben Becerra says, Tatbo Betzoinen. She should put the challah in cold water, and by putting it in cold water, it prevents it from becoming chametz. Tosfos says, it's not that Rebbe Lezer doesn't agree with Ben Becerra, that it doesn't work. And in fact, Ben says Tosfos, Rabbi Elazar will agree that if somebody, instead of doing what he said, that don't designate the shame challah, just bake all the matzahs, cakes, and then take off the challah, forgot and designated and separated challah, then Tosfos says Rabbi Elazar will agree with Ben Becerra's Eitzah. Tosfos is just saying that Rabbi Elazar doesn't want to rely on baking, on keeping it in cold water, because that is a hard thing to achieve. And as Rav Moshe says, tak in a tshuva, laloch lemaisa, somebody asked him, could he prepare a dough from before Yontif, and it won't be chametz, and put it into the freezer, and he'll have it for right after Yontif. So first of all, Rav Moshe says, the Magen Avraham says, that this eitzah, putting it in cold water, is only workable if it hasn't yet begun the chametz process, the chametz process. Once the chametz process begins, it wouldn't work. Moreover, he says, we're not exactly sure what this means. It could mean that putting it in a freezer would not be good enough. It could be what you would have to do is have cold water running on it the whole time. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar wants us to avoid this eitzah if possible. Rabbi Yeshua says, there's really no issue altogether, because there's no issue by Rabbi Matzah in this chametz, because it's not yours. And as the Gemara will explain, chametz that belongs to you, you're not allowed to have. But this is not your chametz, and therefore, what you should do is mafrishta, take off the challah, manichta the erev, and leave it on the side of the mechmitza chmitza. If it becomes chametz, it doesn't make a difference. You weren't over by your rabbi matzah because it's not yours. Ask the Brisk Rav that the halach is that if somebody takes off trumas, maisris, and he knows that it's going leib, but that it's going to not be usable, it's not considered that he did the mitzvah trumas or maisris. So what's Rabbi Yeshua telling us? Take it off. And if it becomes chametz, so be it. It's mafrish leibut. So he answers that mafrish le'ibud, there are two issues in Hilchos Challah. There's a halacha of hafrosha and there's a halacha of nesina. Hafrosha is the main mitzvah. At this point, when somebody is being mafrish this dough as challah, and the dough at this point is not chametz, it's not considered that you did it le'ibud. The fact that later it becomes chametz, that's a later consequence. We follow that frosha, because that's the main mitzvah, and that frosha was done properly, that's why it's considered acceptable, and it's not considered hafrosha le'ibud. The Mefarshim ask that why don't we just have the person be mafrish less than the shear? Less than a kazayis, because the halacha is that midaraisa, any amount of dough which is taken off as challah, you mekayim the mitzvah. So tell the person just to take off a little amount of dough, and with that he'll be mekayim mitzvah challah. And since it's less than a kazayis, there won't be a problem by yirah by yimotzah. So the first answer that by yirah by yimotzah, as we've explained many times, is not dependent on a kazayis, and even by less than a kazayis, there is an iser of bayira or bayimotzi. So the Gemara now comes to explain the machloik is between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar did not accept Rabbi Yeshua's approach that you could leave it, it's not yours, there's no bayira or bayimotzi. What is the machloikis? Says the Gemara, lema b'tayvus hanah k'mifkli. Perhaps the machloikis about tayvus hanah. Tayvus hanah means that if somebody has truma, somebody has challah, so everybody has a right to choose which kohen he's going to give his truma, his challah to. So let's say somebody has a grandson, a kohen, a son-in-law kohen. So he approaches his friend the Yisrael. He says, I'll give you some money, and choose my grandson, choose my son-in-law as the kohen whom you're going to give your challah to. And that's the machlokes here. Is that tayvus hanah considered that you own something? Since I have the right to choose the Kayin who I'm going to give the challah to, so that means I have ownership in the challah. And that's why I'm over by Rabbi Matzah. Rishua Sova Tovas Anah, in a moment, it has no value. Ask the Rishash, even if you hold that Tovas Anah Mammon, that the fact that I could choose a Kayin means that I have a monetary value in this Truma, in this Challah. But here we're talking about Challah that's Chametz. Challah that's Chametz has no value. Who's going to pay you to give that Challah to his son-in-law, to his grandson? It has no value, it's Chametz. So, the Rishash answers that just like we said, Shnei Dvarim Ein Rishusim Shel Adam, V'asen Akos V'Kilim Rishusai. There are certain items that are really not legally yours, but halachically they're considered yours. Here too, this is considered something that it's yours, even though you can't maybe get any money for it, because there's nobody that's going to buy it. The Sfasemis says another Eitzah. He says, since as we explained in the Mishnah, everybody agrees with Ben Becerra that you could take dough and put it into cold water, which will impede it from becoming chametz. So everybody agrees that there's a way that this dough can be salvaged, and that's why it has still value. Says the Gemara Loi, Kul alma savri tovas enamam. Everybody will agree it has no value. And the way the Mefarshim explained, it could go either way. What the Gemara is trying to say is that the machloikis between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua is not relevant to Tovus Hanoah Mammon or not. That is not the factor under consideration. What is the factor? V'hocha b'hoyel k'mafkid. Machloikis is since. Rabbi Lezer says, Amrein hoyel b'boy itchalet. Since if a person wanted, he could have gone to a chacham. Anytime somebody designates something as chalo, somebody designates something as truma, it's really no different than a nether, a vow, which can be annulled. And it'll turn out that this is not challah, it's his challah, it's his dough, which is by Rabbi Matzah. That's why Memayna, who it potentially is his, and that's why he has to dispose of it. Rishua Savaloy Min Hoyle, we don't say Hoyle, and that's why halachically it's not considered his. Now, the Mefarshim ask, the halacha is that on Yontif, you're not allowed to be shoyl, you're not allowed to go to Chacham to be shoyl for a nether on Yontif. So how could the Gemara say, Hoyle boy Ichele asked the Shara Melech, he can't do that on Yontif? So they answer, since the Isser of being shoyl is only with the Rabbonon, and with the Raisa, you are allowed to be shoyl, that's why we could still say Hoyle. The Ksav Sofer says a very nice fart. He says that from here we see that not only the person who actually is the one that owns the dough could be shoyl on the challah, but even if he gives over the challah to a shliach, he could still, the shliach could be shoyl. Because says the Ksav Sofer, if the halacha is that a shliach cannot be shoyl, what does an Al Gemara explain that the situation is that he could have been shoyl, that he gave it to the shliach, and the shliach can no longer be shoyl, and therefore even according to Rabbi Lezer, it would not be a problem. We see from here that a shliach can also be shoyl. So where we're up to now is that the machloika between Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua is as follows. According to Rabbi Lezer, if somebody designated dough as challah, it's still viewed as belonging to him because of the concept of hoyel. Since he could reacquire it, it's considered as if it's his. If Yeshua doesn't subscribe to hoyel, so it's no longer considered his. And the other shaila is, can we bake loaves on Yontif from which challah has not yet been taken, even though eventually some of them will become usher because they're challah tameya? Reb Lezer says it's mutter, because we say each loaf that's being baked is not the one that will be used for challah. And Reb Yeshua says it's usher, because we say since one of these loaves is going to be something that's going to be challah, we're not allowed to bake it, knowing that eventually we're not going to be allowed to answer. Now, asks Rashi, if Rebbe Lezer is saying now that we subscribe to this concept of hoyel, that you could undo the status of challah, so he says, why did Rebbe Lezer in the Mishnah have to explain that he baked, that first he bakes the loaves and then he takes off the challah? Even if he took off the challah first and then baked it, it should still be mutter, because we could say hoyel, that he could retract that designation. So Rashi answers, truthfully, that would be true. However, we always want to avoid relying on the concept of hoyel when possible. That's why Rashi says, Rebbe Lezer in the Mishnah said, first bake the loaves without calling anything challah, so you're certainly allowed to bake it, and then you'll call challah whatever is challah, and it'll be fine. So since the Gemara began the discussion of hoyel, the Gemara continues with this concept. Itmar. If somebody bakes on Yontif for a weekday, that means Yontif is on Monday, Tuesday is weekday, and he bakes on Monday for Yontif. Rav Chisda Amar Loi, Rav Chisda says he gets Malkus, you're not allowed to bake on Yontif L'tzor Chol. And Rav Amar Eino Loikim. Rav Chisda Amar Loi, he gets Malkus. Loi Aminim, we don't say Hoil Miklei Orchim Chazilei, that perhaps guests will come, and then he could give this food to the guest, and that's why what he did is not wrong. What he did is not necessarily wrong, because guests may come, and it'll turn out that he baked on their behalf. Now, Taishas Mesech Tebei asks, we know that Allah is that Metarsha Hutra Litzarech, Hutra Namishlai Litzarech, that although Melachas that the Torah allowed on Yontif to be done, were Melachas La'ichel Nefesh, even Melachas that are not La'ichel Nefesh may be done. Ask Taisvis, so if we say Mitaich, we should be allowed to do everything on Yontif, even if it's not Litzarech Yontif. So Taisvis answers, even if we subscribe to the concept of Mitaich, it only allows you to do things that have a Tzarech Yontif, that have a need for Yontif. Something that has no need for Yontif may not be done just because of Mitaich, and that's why we have to rely on the concept of Hoyel. Amlei Rav Lev Chizda, Lididach, according to you, that you don't subscribe to the concept of hoyel. How could, if Yontif is on Friday, how could somebody cook on Yontif for Shabbos for the next day? You're not allowed to bake for on Yontif for any other time besides Yontif. Because we have an Erev Tashilin. That we know that Allah is. We have this Erev Tashin, which allows you to prepare for Yontif for Shabbos, if you put away food that was prepared before Yontif for the Erev Tashin. Ask Rabbi Rav Chisda, Umshum Erev Tashin Shemina Yisur Deraisa. You're saying it's us to cook on Yontif after Yontif, so the Erev Tashin can make that mutter. Amalei Mideraisa Tzarcha Shabbos Nasim Yontif. I hold, really, that on Yontif you're allowed to cook for Shabbos. So there's a machlokes Rashi and Taisus. Why? Rashi says, because the pasuk says, "Acha sheyoichel chal nefesh," that you're allowed to make on Yontif food loichel nefesh. Shabbos and Yontif is according to Rav Chisda one. So just like I'm allowed to cook on Yontif for Yontif, I'm allowed to cook Yontif for Shabbos, which is the next day. Taisus seems to learn that the reason is because how will I have food for Shabbos any other way? What's the nafkamina between their approach? Big nafkamina. According to Rashi, l'chadchila, you're allowed to cook on Friday, midaraisa, Friday Yontif for Shabbos. That's what the Torah is telling us. According to Taisvis, you're only allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, because otherwise you won't have food for Shabbos. That means, according to Taisvis, if you could easily cook before Yontif and the food will be just as good, then you shouldn't cook on Yontif for Shabbos, even with an Erev Tashilin. Says the Gemara, Rabbanu Huda Gazer Begzer. Rabbanu made Gzer that even though you're allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbos, you shouldn't shem yomer from Yontif l'chol, that you may come to cook on every Yontif for weekdays. The kivin that zuchur rabbanon erev teshulin. So rabbanon said, make an erev teshulin islay akeira, and that will be a reminder that you only can cook from Yontif for Shabbos and not for a weekday. What's the so now we have two reasons why, what is the halacha for cooking for Yontif to Shabbos? either because of hayil u'miklay yarchim, that I could cook because I might have guests, or the reason is that perhaps that tzarich shabbos nas miyontif. What is the nafkamina between the two reasons? The nafkamina between the two reasons is if you're allowed to cook Friday late afternoon, it's right before the zman. If the reason is because tzarich shabbos nas miyontif, so you're allowed to bake anything on yontif for Shabbos. If the reason is because hoyel miklay orchim, the guest would come, so it has to be food that would be edible to the guest. But if I'm baking it so late or cooking it so late that the guest can never have it anyway anymore, then I wouldn't have a heter of hoyel. This shaila comes up when Pesach, when Akron Shal Pesach is on Shabbos, and the question is, what could you bake on Friday erev Akron Shal Pesach? So usually an erev tavshilin allows you to bake anything l'tzarich Shabbos, but the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Akiva Eiger, other achronim discuss. Let's say somebody doesn't eat gebroks all of the first 7 days of Pesach, but he eats gebroks on Achron Shal Pesach. Now on Achron Shal Pesach on Shabbos he won't be able to make knedlach. You're not allowed to make knedlach on Shabbos. But now you're cooking on, but you'll make knedlach on Friday. But and you'll rely on the Erev Tavshilin. So if the Vart is Tzarich Shabbos Nasan B'yontif, that's okay. But if the Vart is Hoyol, that if guests came, you would serve it to them, but you don't eat Gebroks. Chazon Ish says that since the entire reason for not eating Gebroks is only a Chumrah, and if you had to, or you had to, somebody, your family member had to, everybody holds that Mi'ikar Din Gebroks is Mutter, that's why you can make those Kneilach on Erev Akron Shal Pesach, Friday Erev Shabbos, even though you don't eat Gebroks. Tosfos asks that if we're relying on the concept of Hoyel, we should say Hoyel for every Melacha, every Shabbos. Because since the halacha is that somebody who's chas v'shalom a choyel shiyesh by sakana, you're allowed to do anything from him. So you should say, I'm allowed to cook and bake because choyel that I'll have this person who's sick and I need to cook and bake for him. So Taisha says, it's a loy shchiyach. It's not common that we should have a sick person. And since it's not common, we don't say choyel on something that's not common. In fact, there's a mashal that says that we may not be able to say hoyel any time nowadays for people who don't have guests. Similar concept as Tosfos. Another pshat is, you can't compare, says the Maram Chalva, cooking for guests to cooking for a sick person. Cooking for guests on Yontif is mutter. It's preferable. It's nice. Cooking for a sick person is not that you're allowed to cook. The Torah says, if you have a sick person, you have to do what you have to do. But it's not that the Torah says, go cook for him, and therefore it cannot be used as a basis to say hoyel. Another pshat that I saw is as follows. The Gemara uses the concept, hoyel mikle orchim, perhaps he'll have guests, the chazile, and then he needs the food, and that's why it's not a problem if you cook on yontev, even though you already ate. Obviously, if you cook before you ate, there would never be a shayla. But here we're talking about that you cooked when you ate already. But there's a question on that terminology that the Mefarshim point out. It should say, Hoylu mikle orchim chazi lahen. They will have what to eat. That says, Hoylu mikle orchim chazi lay. He'll have what to eat. But he ate already. So what's the chazi lay? So the Chassidish Sfarim say, and really the Meshech Chachma says the same concept also, Pasuk says, "Sadik oichel l'soy v'nafshoy, ubeten rishoyim yechsar." That a tzaddik is always full and a rosh is hungry. Why? So he explains that when somebody invites guests, even if he's full, he doesn't want that the guest should eat and he shouldn't eat. They'll be embarrassed, so he eats alone. Tzaddik oichel l'soy v'nafshoy. So he's always full. He always has guests, and he's always eating because of his guests. Rishon, who don't have guests, bet Rishon Yechsa, they remain hungry. Hoylo mikalei archim, if you'll have guests, chazilei, you'll have what to eat, because you're a tzaddik, and you're going to want to eat along with your guest. But the concept goes further. As the Meshech Chachma explains, on Yontif, which part of the concept and part of the goal of Yom Tovim is to increase the achdus between Klal Yisrael. There's an inyan to have guest. It's what a Jew should want. It's what a Jew should do. Hoyel is a lashon of wanting. The hoyel Moshe, he wanted. Hoyel miklalei archim, you want guest. Since you want guest, when you bake and cook, even though you ate already, you're baking and cooking for guest who hoyel, whom you want. And that's why it's a good heter. But chayil sheyesh b'sakana is not somebody who you want. It's not something chas v'shalom that somebody wants to be able or to need to bake or cook for chayil sheyesh b'sakana. You can only rely on chayil when you want it, when you want that eventuality to happen. You want guests to come. Nobody chas v'shalom wants a chayil sheyesh b'sakana.